Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. I'm Bob, and I'm sharing today from a book that I put out at Amazon.com. It's available now. It's called Pre-Trib on Trial. It's regarding the rapture or the catching up of the saints. I'm addressing the particular theory that's been around now for about 200 years and has been made popular via books and movies and even the teachings of some outstanding scholars. It's called the Pre-Tribulation Rapture. I do not represent any church or denomination in the contents of this book, but I believe that the information I'm about to share with you will make you think twice about this popular teaching. Today it's our 10th audio on this subject. We're doing a virtual trial, calling virtual witnesses to a virtual courtroom, as it were. We're up to the point now where we're calling those forward who helped to spread this teaching. We talked last time about where it started, when it started. We have the date. It's very clear when all of this began. But it took off through various means, and one of them was a man named Schofield, C.I. Schofield. Would you come to the witness stand, please? Mr. Schofield, you were quite involved in the widespread acceptance of this new doctrine. Is that true?
Yes, sir. I proudly admit it. I was totally on board with Mr. Darby, and I published a Bible with notes that reflected his teachings. This Bible became exceedingly popular among fundamentalists, and so did the new doctrine. Yes, when someone sees in his own Bible that such and such is true, it's hard to ignore it. Mr. Schofield, more than that, I read that persons who did not agree with Darby's theology could be labeled a modernist in that time.
Well, I know nothing of that. All I know is that I believed in Darby, and I wanted his teachings to spread, and they did.
Yes, Mr. Schofield, they did. Not all that long after your death, Hal Lindsey came along with his famous book. Then came the movies, showing exactly how it would all happen. You may step down, sir, and thank you. If today, you would try to say nay to the pre-tribulation doctrine, to anyone that happens to really believe it strongly, you'll either be told, I read it in my own Bible, or I saw it in a cool preacher's book, or I saw it in a movie. That's the way the court of public opinion has been swayed. I do hope the court present here today is of a more noble persuasion and will check these things out for yourself. Well, we're going to call Dwight Moody to the stand now. Dwight L. Moody. Mr. Moody, you were a friend of Mr. Spurgeon, weren't you?
Oh, yes, we even exchanged pulpits.
But Mr. Moody, you seem to have come to a different idea regarding the rapture, though that teaching did come out of Spurgeon's England.
Well, where it came from, I'm not going to debate with you. But yes, indeed, I believed what I saw in my Schofield Bible and what was now being circulated by other pastors and teachers.
Mr. Moody, your promotion of the teaching was quite successful. It never seems to have ruptured your friendship with that other great preacher either.
Oh, no. We majored on the majors, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Moody. You may step down. Mr. Moody went on to found the Moody Bible Institute and Moody Church, both of which have been strong contenders for the pre-tribulation rapture theory. Well, we've ceased the arguments regarding the truth or falsehood of the issue, you may have noticed. We're now attempting to trace its growth, which has been quite phenomenal. Hal Lindsey, would you please come forward? Hal Lindsey. Mr. Lindsey, I see that even in your 90s, you have a very robust constitution and continue to hold forth the scriptures as you did so many decades ago.
Well, God has blessed and favored me for sure.
Well, Mr. Lindsay, we're tracing the dissemination of a teaching that seems to have first become popular in London, England, and then your own ministry seriously enhanced this popularity by a book that you wrote. Yes, you must be speaking of the late great planet Earth. Yes, the things of the future were being preached to the mainline church via great men like Moody and through that Schofield Bible you mentioned. God seems to have raised me up to speak to the younger generation. I wrote that book in 1970. To date, it's sold well over 15 million copies. 1985, I published another book specifically on this topic. It, too, has had a great circulation. Well, no question, Mr. Lindsay. Millions of young people were given ideas about the future and believed them because of your character and your seeming knowledge of the scriptures and your ability to relate to the young. It was quite a feat. Mr. Lindsay, did you not teach in your books that Jesus most certainly was coming back very soon? Yes, yes, the conditions of the world were such that I couldn't help believe this was true. Yes, Mr. Lindsay, that was 50-plus years ago. Do you still teach that? Well, I understand your point, but has not every generation believed that Jesus was coming soon? Isn't that a healthy thing to believe? Well, Mr. Lindsay, I will pass on that question. For now, just let it be known by the court that Mr. Lindsay's book may well have been the number one nonfiction bestseller of all time. The pre-tribulation rapture had taken hold of the Western Church. Sir, thank you. You also may step down. Now we want to hear from a lesser known but wildly influential man of the same era. His name, Russell Doughton. Russell Doughton. Mr. Doughton, could you tell the court what you did to spread the word about Jesus coming in that same Hal Lindsay era of the 70s? Well, we put together a series of four films called Thief in the Night, with the same basic storyline as would follow with the Left Behind series later. Persons would discover that loved ones were gone, repentance would take place, the world would run amok, Antichrist would rule, and unraptured people would suffer. Well, Mr. Doughton, was this a successful venture? Well, it's been estimated that as many as 300 million people have viewed at least one of these four films. Yes, I'd say quite successful, quite gratifying. Incredible. Incredible. Mr. Doughton, thank you. You may step down. Equal in influence a little later than Mr. Lindsay and Mr. Doughton was one Tim LaHaye. Would you join us, sir? Mr. LaHaye, would you talk a little about the series of books that you gave us? Yes, based on my beliefs and the growing excitement about the return of the Lord, owing, I must confess, to Brother Doughton's work before us, we published a series of 16 books originally, known collectively as the Left Behind series. This all started in 1995. 80 million copies of these books have been published. The hunger and acceptance was so great that we decided to create movies to go with them. 5 such films came out, beginning in 2000, and were equally enthusiastically received by the American church. We even branched out into video games. Video games, sir? Yes, yes, video games, strategy games. In other words, what would you do if, that kind of a game. I see. Well, you have truly spread this teaching effectively, and thank you again for your help today. You may step down. As we come to the end of another day, I want to revisit our history line. Mr. History, would you please come back to the stand? Mr. History, you shared with us before how all the creeds and confessions and catechisms through the many centuries of the church
were absolutely silent about a pre-tribulation rapture. Can you tell us what could be found in church statements today?
Okay. Well, you already pointed out the statements made by the brethren and the Bible churches. Interestingly enough, there isn't that much change in others. Perhaps to show some unity, I don't know. We can look at a few, though, like the Southern Baptist Convention. This group came together in the mid-1800s. You'll notice that even though the new pre-trib theory was growing in prominence, the Baptists tried to take a middle course. Here are their exact words. God, in His own time and His own way, will bring the world to its appropriate end. Jesus Christ will return personally and visibly. The dead will be raised, and Christ will judge all men in righteousness. Now, nothing really new here. No stand is taken, pre or post. Then there's the Christian Missionary Alliance of A.B. Simpson fame. This is the late 1800s. They, too, talk of a resurrection and a judgment and imminence, and they add premillennial, but no seven-year appearing in the clouds. Likewise, the Nazarenes in 1907. Then came the Assemblies of God, 1914. There's a new twist. At last, it has caught on. Of the 16 basic truths of this Pentecostal denomination, two are given fully to the coming of Jesus. First, what they call the blessed hope, the coming resurrection at the rapture of the church. And they say that is imminent, can happen any second. But then, in a separate cardinal doctrine, they say, quote, the second coming of Christ includes the rapture of the saints, already covered in the first point, followed by the visible return of Christ with His saints. And so there are two phases, two comings. But how far apart? Well, we're not told. Now, they have written position papers since then to show exactly where they stand on this. But in their official cardinal doctrines, no, it's not there. I see. Well, thank you, Mr. History. And so the court now sees that from humble beginnings in the early 19th century, this current rapture doctrine has taken serious hold on a major portion of the church. But just how serious? And just how major? Next, we're going to look at the status of this teaching in our present world. There'll be a short recess. Well, welcome back to our serious discussion about the pre-tribulation rapture. We examine now the scope of this teaching in the church of our own day, early 21st century. And we see if there are any serious objections being made to it, and why. I have read somewhere, and I think this is a statement not needing confirmation among us, that this doctrine is so widespread among Western Protestants that younger Christians are often unaware of its novelty. In many churches, it's assumed that this is what is to be taught and believed by the members of that church and its denominational leadership. Some pastors are flatly told by their superiors in the hierarchy that they are not to spread any other view of the coming of the Lord. In the interests of church unity, of course. Well, I want to recall our brother, the Apostle Paul, to help deal with this issue of doctrine and church unity, and how he handled it when he was among us. Paul, would you please? Brother Paul, were there various ideas in the church of the first century about when Jesus would return? Why, yes. And there was one very pernicious teaching that I had to address when writing to the Corinthians and the Thessalonians. And what was that? Well, there were some teaching, even pretending to speak a word of prophecy on the subject, that the resurrection had already taken place, and the rest of us had been left behind. Some even wrote letters and signed my name to them, swearing that Jesus had already come.
Wow. Paul, they were evidently believing in a secret catching up.
Did it bother you to affirm strongly that this teaching was false? Did it occur to you that you might cause division and mar the unity of those congregations when you spoke the truth?
Well, sir, when the truth is at stake, unity must form around the truth, and never without the truth. By the way, Paul, how did you correct that teaching?
Well, I let them know that Antichrist and his apostasy would come first. I shared elsewhere how very public and loud and well known this coming of Jesus would be, nothing secret about it.
I see. Paul, did you urge unity and discourage divisive talk and actions elsewhere, yes?
Oh, definitely. The world is watching us. But Jesus never asked me once to compromise actual statements that he made.
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, Paul. Thank you. That will all be all for now. We want to call a Mr. Stat. Mr. Stat. He's an expert in the field of church stats, statistics. Mr. Stat, would you join us?
Sir, I want to ask you, is the pre-tribulation rapture now the majority view of the Christian church worldwide?
Well, some may object to what we are calling Christian, as many will want to say that only evangelical, some would add Pentecostal, Christians should be allowed into that number. Nevertheless, we will allow all who name the name of Christ in some way to be counted, and using that measure, the theory of which you speak is far from the majority.
Well, what fraction would you say, based on your studies?
I invite all who will to examine this point, but my figures show that only about 25% of Christians worldwide hold to an escape theology. Even in the West, in America, perhaps only one-third of American pastors are strongly in that camp.
I see, Mr. Stat. And so, perhaps, that minority is a very vocal minority, with its books and movies and even video games, while, sadly perhaps, the majority, who hold the standard biblical interpretation, are not as interested in talking about it?
Well, I cannot judge hearts in my business, only numbers, and the numbers definitely favor a different view of the rapture.
Well, thank you, Mr. Stat. You may step down.
We could call to the stand illustrious preachers who will testify to their disbelief in a pre-tribulation rapture, men like George Ladd, Zach Poonen, F.F. Bruce, Merrill Tenney, and more. But the other side has its own array of godly men who affirm the opposite. I'd rather spend the bulk of our time now on one of the main modern objections to this theory, an objection so large that the theory cannot even be talked about in many parts of the world. Let me call to the stand the woman who, in my generation, and that's, I've lived through many generations, but in one of my past generations, she became one of the excellent models of Christianity under fire. Her name, Corrie ten Boom. Most of you remember her story, as told in the book and movie called The Hiding Place. You'll recall how she and her family were taken to prison when the Nazis of Hitler's Germany overcame the Netherlands. She alone survived to tell of the horrors of persecution under Nazism. Please, next time, welcome to the witness stand, Miss Corrie ten Boom. I think you're going to not enjoy, but
be very thankful for the testimony you will hear next time. Well, thank you so much for sharing with me today, and do take a look at my other recordings here on Sermon Audio. There are 3,500 plus audios of Christian teaching and readings covering over 200 topics. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun, and Lord willing, we'll talk again real soon. Bye-bye.